0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the first weekend of the new league season. Celtic pick up where they left off last season by sweeping Kilmarnock aside as Rangers drop points at Hearts. St Mirren get up and running in impressive fashion, and there was the share of the spoils in a wonderful Dundee derby. Not too much to report from Motherwell v Ross County, and St Johnstone Aberdeen will round it all off tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Marvin Bartley and Roger Hannah.
Well, I thought it was a weekend, an opening weekend of the season, Gordon, that actually posed more questions than it answered. Will Celtic go through an entire campaign scoring four goals every game? Will Rangers be able to up their game in Lublin against Dynamo Kiev tomorrow night? Is it always 2-2 when Dundee United play Dundee at Tannadice? Because it seems to be. How many of our pundits can pronounce Apostolos Stamatolopoulos? And will Marvin Bartley win more beat the pundits this season than Hibs score goals?
We're back with a bang.
We really are. No, it was brilliant to have the big boys back, so to speak. Maybe until 3 o'clock yesterday when Hibs kicked off against St Mirren. But no, listen, the fantastic weekend of football, like you said, rounded off today with St Johnson against Aberdeen. And, you know, name the stand after their chairman. He's done so much for the football club, so he definitely deserves a mention. Been fantastic for Scottish football and St Johnston as a football club.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. Now it really feels like we're back. We've got a weekend of league action to reflect on. If we start yesterday, start most recently, Celtic fans, how would you sum it up? How good was it? Sometimes these games can be difficult. We know Kilmarnock are a frustrating opponent at times. What did you make of some of the football on show? Who impressed you? Who stood out for you? What does it do for your optimism going on to the rest of the league season? How would you sum up your opening weekend? That question really goes to everybody, no matter what team you support. How would you sum up your opening weekend? If you want to do the specifics of Celtic's performance yesterday, then please do. The Dundee derby was unbelievable. How good was that? Rangers fans, though, I suspect in this part of the world, you will be shouting fairly loud as well, because drop points again on the opening day of the season. Where did it go wrong? Is this all about personnel? Is there not enough signings being made yet? Is not enough being done with the players that are already there? Talk us through the big highlights and headlines from that game at Tynecastle. Maybe you've decided to take it all in the chin and appreciate that a point at Tynecastle isn't always the worst, but I suspect you might be a bit more critical about certain elements of it. So how do you look back on the game that kicked us all off? There's not even time really to dwell, because it's on to European football, so anyone that's got an interest there, get your thoughts in. And the transfer window is still very much open. What will this week bring? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now and sum up your team's opening weekend if you can, to put you in the mood back for the new season. Your result of the weekend, gentlemen.
It was one that actually I didn't see coming. St Mirren 3, Hibs 0. We always talk about, you know, clubs, even Celtic and Rangers, having a little European hangover. It's always difficult doing that Thursday, Sunday thing. I thought St Mirren, having had the enormous high of beating Valour 4-1 on Thursday night, might just hit a little dip ahead of their game against Bran this Thursday night. I could not have been more wrong. Fantastic display. And by the way, a shout out to Stephen Robinson and his recruitment team, because Ellery Balcombe, Sean Rooney, Roland Odowu and Ocean Smith all in and already made a huge impact in that squad.
Yeah, my result of the weekend was Celtic. You know, not often when I'm playing at home they get a result of the weekend from me, but it was the manner of the result. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. Off the ball, on the ball, the way they pressed when the ball was turned over, the way they attacked, they had forward runners, they had full control in terms of possession, and they showed a ruthless nature to themselves as well, because Kilmarnock began to tire, as Roger said there with St Mirren. Kilmarnock also played on Thursday, and I know, you know, Derek had some injuries and he rested a couple of players. I think the last 30 minutes, Kilmarnock began to struggle, but Celtic showed just how ruthless they can be and, you know, went on to win 4-0.
Goal of the opening weekend. Not over yet, of course. Sorry, Aberdeen and St Johnstone.
No, I'll go back to the Smizer, Roland Odowu, the opening goal for St Mirren that set them on the way.
Roger, you got a problem with Hibs?
No more than usual. No, I wouldn't say this weekend I've got any more of a problem. I've got a couple of Hibs-supporting friends who have got a problem.
Yeah, but
with
so they've got their own problems.
No, I can plough on with neutrality. No, I thought the lad did well. He's come up on loan from Shrewsbury Town, and he's already been a big impact. I think they've been really impressed with him in Paisley.
Great touch and hit, wasn't it? What's getting your nod, Marvin? You don't have to stick Premiership, of course. It's up to you.
No, I've gone for a goal that similar to the strikes I used to make as a player. If anyone's not seen it, go and have a look.
It's a bit early for comedy on tonight's show, I have to say.
Don Thomas for Queen's Park, the equaliser against Falkirk on Friday night. Fantastic, cuts inside his left foot and bends it into the top corner. A goal worthy of winning for me. Goal of the weekend.
He's a student of the game. And a quiz question, because that was the first goal of the SPFL. No, it wasn't. It was an equaliser. Yeah. Forget it.
The thing that prevented you the first from game 25 of the yards like that was you needed to get within 25 yards of the opposition
and be able to kick it that far.
Well, where are we? We've done result, we've done goal. Howler. Let's stick the boot into someone who's getting howler of the weekend.
I got woken up yesterday morning by a text to tell me that someone had heard Ian Murray was sacked. Ah. And I thought, that can't be right. It was a colleague of mine, Robert Grieve. And sure enough, within a matter of minutes, it became clear Ian Murray had been sacked. Raith Rovers playoff final in May. Mm-hmm. I don't think the results have been dreadful through the Premier Sports Cup. They lost 1-0 at Airdrie on Saturday, an Airdrie team who were also in the playoffs at the end of last season. But the Rovers board have decided it is time for change. It surprises me. I'll be very interested to see who his successor is.
And your howler of the weekend?
I've gone for Hibs defending.
You have a problem.
With their defending yesterday, I did have. No, I thought there was, listen, forget about the mistakes. I think the reaction to the mistakes was the problem for me. I thought there was a lack of desire and work rate and willingness to defend your box and get back and make crucial blocks. You saw Rooney at the other end make a fantastic block for St Mirren. I just didn't see that from Hibs. Hibs' defending is howler of the weekend for me.
I was hoping he was going to mention them at some point. I thought he was just skipping over them with every category, but I think a few Hibs fans might agree. It was not an easy watch, I'm sure. And finally then, top performer of the weekend. Who's getting the nod?
Delighted to say it's a young homegrown Scottish player, Miller Thompson of Dundee United. I saw him at the tail end of last season when United were coming up, Gordon, and he was played it right back and he performed really, really well. And I spoke to Jim Goodwin about him, and Jim Goodwin said he's actually a right winger. Mm-hmm. He plays further on, but we just felt for his development to get him into the team, we'll play him at right back and, you know, we'll try and develop him on. And he's done terrifically well. He was back in his proper position yesterday, and he's in ahead of the likes of Glenn Middleton, Fotheringham, who played so well coming up last season. He deserved his place, he deserved his goal, and I really hope he kicks on for United this season.
And I'm going for Taylor at Hearts, making his debut.
He was good, wasn't he?
He was fantastic. Honestly, one-on-one defensive duels, you know, running forward, plenty of energy, good on the ball as well. He looked like an all-round fullback. And he actually reminded me of Frimpong when he was at Celtic, that same kind of style to his game. And, you know, I think Neil McCann said a lot on commentary. I think he's going to excite us a lot from that fullback position because he just wants to run forward. But as I said, if he's made to defend, he did it extremely well.
There we go then. Do you agree or disagree with what you're hearing so far? 01419511025. Sum up your team's opening weekend, whether it was good, bad or somewhere in the middle. We are here for you. Richie in East Kilbride is going to kick us off tonight. How are you, Richie?
Not bad, panel. Good evening. How are we?
Hey,
not
Richie.
Bad.
Evening, all mate. Good. It's good to be back, Richie, isn't it? And a proper league football to look back on.
Aye, no, definitely. The World Cup obviously took the time away, to be honest with you, so took the impact off it. But my question to the panel, the point I want to make is, first of all, thanks a lot for making me the first caller of the season. Absolutely delighted with how, obviously, the current champions have obviously performed yesterday. And does the panel think that the unbroken 55 will be delivered this season?
Paying out already, Roger, are you?
Well, Paddy Power certainly is.
Paying out on Celtic. Yeah, gamble responsibly.
A great bit of PPPR last night to pay out already. They were very impressive yesterday. Brendan Rodgers actually said through the week, you know, that was the best pre-season he had ever known as a manager at any of his clubs. And Celtic have just picked up from pre-season into the season. I thought they were really impressive yesterday. Hatate got the headlines for his performance, but I don't think there was a failure in the team. Nicholas Kuhn looks improved. Kyogo looks sharper than he did possibly at any stage of last season. O'Reilly still at the club for now, but looked really good yesterday, and so did Callum McGregor. I don't think Brendan Rodgers could have been any happier with a performance. And the good thing for Celtic at this time of year, I was discussing this with Nicholas Kuhn after the game, that there is no European football at the minute for Celtic. You know, mm-hmm. they're straight into that new look Champions League group. So Celtic will play on Sunday. You know, the likes of Rangers and Kilmarnock and St Mirren of midweek games. Hearts are soon getting into this midweek game thing, playing Thursday nights. Celtic just go weekend to weekend to weekend at the minute, and it allows them more time on the training ground to perfect the things they're trying to do. So you really couldn't find a negative in that performance yesterday, Gordon.
Yeah, totally agree with that. You know, it's only the first game, so I'm not going to crown them champions already. But in terms of, you know, how first games go, it was a fantastic performance from Celtic all round. And they showed both sides of the game, as I said just there, you know, speaking about Hibs defending there. I remember, I think it was at 2-0, you saw Callum McGregor tracking Watson. And Watson had 2 or 3 yards on him, by the way. And Callum McGregor turns on the afterburners, turns the ball over and plays it forward. And things like that, for me, are just as important as scoring goals, because he's got that ruthless nature about him. He could have let Watson run on to Carter Vickers, for example, but he didn't choose to do that. You know, led by example. And as I said, you know, for first game, Celtic were absolutely brilliant.
Richie, sometimes the opening weekend teams are a bit slow to get going. You add into that the fact that, you know, Kilmarnock have come to Celtic Park and caused problems. Celtic don't always get those games as easily as you might expect. Is that what made it also pleasing for you?
I think, to be honest with you, credit where credit's due, Kilmarnock last season were absolutely outstanding under Derek McInnes. They're the only team, from what I remember, to take points off of, obviously, Celtic and then the Rangers across the other side of the city. But for Celtic to perform as well as they did in the pre-season, now, albeit a pre-season as a Mickey Mouse sort of competition, but to take that sort of the credibility and the confidence for them to move forward in the opening game of the season, I think is absolutely outstanding. And I think Brendan Rodgers needs to be credited. He's came back and he said he was going to deliver. Obviously, last year he said, "I'll see you in May." He has done that. And I think, to be honest with you, as long as he continues to get the backing of the board, I actually phoned in last season and I shouted for Matt Lowell to be removed from the City Group, obviously part of the scouting system. I think that removal of his sort of stature has been successful for the club. I just hope that the continuation of the success at our side of the city continues and we move forward. Obviously, Europe is the next best thing for us, so how we get on in there, as we all know, Champions League's a big, big, massive step up.
It felt, Marvin, like, you know, for Celtic to do that and hit their peak, if you like. I'm not saying it was the peak, mm-hmm. but, you know, I mean, it was decent, certainly. There's certain individuals that you're looking for to be at the top of their game. Matt O'Reilly, obviously, Reo Hatate, who Celtic missed a lot of last season, and Okyogo didn't score. But, you know, the movement, see, when those types are all coming together, you've got Nicholas Kuhn that looks like he's benefiting from having been there for a while. It's going to be hard to stop when all those players come together, isn't it?
Yeah, very difficult to stop. And I'll be honest, I don't think domestically they can be stopped. If those sorts of players are on their game, I think for me the most important three in that team are the midfield three, because they control absolutely everything, on the ball, off the ball. You know, playing forward, running forward. O'Reilly chipped in with so many goals last season. You spoke about Kyogo there with his movement. And the rest of the boys now finding their feet as well. I think if those three are on their game, they're going to be very, very difficult to stop, especially at home. And they've now got that confidence. I think, you know, for Brendan Rodgers, he probably wants a chance window to, you know, stand shut now, even if it meant he couldn't bring any more players. If he can get Hatate and O'Reilly to keep them for the month of August with the transfer window being open, I think he'd be absolutely delighted, even if he didn't bring in Adamida, for example.
I think Celtic do need, I'm not going to say Adamida, I think mm-hmm. we'll get Adamida. Yep. I think Celtic probably need a couple of strikers. There was a moment at the end, you could almost hear the gasp around the four sides of the stadium, Marvin. Kyogo clashed when and nipped a ball from Robbie McCrory, heavy challenge by Robbie McCrory. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a penalty kick.
I agree.
Brendan Rodgers thought it was a penalty kick. Anyway, the biggest worry was it took Kyogo a minute or two mm-hmm. just to square himself up and get back involved in play. If anything happened to Kyogo at the minute, there is no, you know,
replacement for
obvious
him,
replacement that you could say dies in my head, but even he's injured, he can knock mm-hmm. against Chelsea. Celtic, for me, urgently need a striker or two in the building, because Ida's not there, O isn't there, Rocco Vata isn't there. They're just numerically, they're down. I think that's as important as any position for Celtic.
Thanks to Richie. Let's hear the opening weekend thoughts of Brendan Rodgers then. Richie was pleased with the performance, and safe to say, so was the Celtic manager.
Very good performance and just continuation of our pre-season. So it's always the hope that we show great form and good balance in the team. And yeah, we continue that into today. So really pleased. I think I've seen the team develop over the period of time I've been here. Just you know, the clarity around how we want to work. And of course, being able to spend a lot of time in pre-season together and perform how we did, clearly gives the team confidence. I think a big part of it probably also was how last season ended. You know, I come in here and not a lot of the players have worked with us before, and we're a bit up and down and inconsistent. But then as the season wore on, and then when it came to it and when it mattered, we got the job done, and then that obviously gives players a big confidence, and we just continued the last 3 months of the season into the pre-season and then today. So you hope that you can keep the level, but I thought we were excellent today.
Let's ask Ross, who's also a Celtic fan in Drumchapel. Ross, how did you feel about the opening weekend performance?
Really, really well. I agree with what Roger just said. I think we need another striker to compensate for Kyogo, because if something happened to Kyogo, we've nobody. With the Adam Eder thing, it just feels as if Celtic are putting all their eggs in one basket.
I do wonder about that sort of mixed emotions for Celtic fans yesterday, who are watching it and loving it and thinking, this is brilliant, this is, what a performance. Oh, but by the way, board, don't think that we don't need more players. Don't play too well in case we keep the team the same.
It was strange actually, because quite often the Celtic support are not just vocal, they are visual in their protests. And there was a couple of folk had said to me last week, I just wonder if there's going to be anything, you know, encouraging the board to spend some of the money that lies in the bank account. And there wasn't. There was a very positive approach from the Celtic support before the game, during the game and after the game. Still a few days, 3 weeks and a bit of this window to go. I wonder if Celtic are hanging back just to see how much they can get for Matt O'Reilly, and see how much they want to spend. I'm still sure Adam Eder will be at Celtic Park before the end of the window. I think a left back will be in the building. I think a third striker will probably be in the building as well. There will be a replacement for O'Reilly if O'Reilly goes, and maybe even another defender in there as well as cover. I think there's a lot of incoming transfer business to be done if O'Reilly goes.
Yeah, the latest club, it seems like a long list, Ross, Brighton apparently interested in taking Matt O'Reilly. When you see his impact on the team yesterday, you must be desperate for him to stay. Or have you made your peace with perhaps getting a big fee for him?
I would like him to stay if he was going to stay, but equally, you know yourself, in football you can't make players stay if they don't want to stay. If he wants to go, he's going to go. But if he goes, Celtic need to get somebody to replace him.
Marvin, we always speak about recruitment as the tool you use to get stronger from one season to the next, and obviously it's the main one, but sometimes we overlook the possibility that all those players you have from one season, maybe some of them get better, maybe a lot of them get better, and therefore your team becomes stronger without actually adding to it. Roger's right, that's just a fact. Like, numerically Celtic are down anyway, so they do need bodies for the numbers to be as strong. I wonder if someone like Nicholas Coon, when you look at his performance yesterday, might be an example of what can be done with players that are already there.
Yeah, I think, you know, Celtic have brought players in, and we always hear this word project being used, and sooner or later the projects are going to go from players with potential to ones that can perform week in, week out. Nicholas couldn't be in one. You know, we know he had the kind of the dental injury when he first came over and he wasn't eating, etc. And anyone who's played football knows if you're not eating correctly, it's really difficult to perform. He's been fantastic for them in pre-season. You know, the managers picked him out as an individual and said how good he's done. And then he continued that yesterday. So yeah, you're right, Gordon. Those young players are going to get better, which does make your squad better. But as Roger's already said, you know, they are down on numbers. And I agree. I think they are waiting to see what happens with O'Reilly, because if you can get a massive, you know, figure for him, I think they do bring another midfielder. Maybe they put that towards getting an even, without being disrespectful to Eder, maybe an even better striker, you know, to bring into the football club that potentially could help them in Europe as well. I think Eder's, again, one of those ones that just falls in that kind of that project bracket for them.
Keep them coming then. We're asking you to sum up your team's opening weekend. That's a couple of Celtic fans clearly delighted, as you would expect, with the performance and result. Keep them coming if you wish, or maybe switch focus. What about that game, Hearts against Rangers? A really good 0-0. I think we would all agree on that. How do you feel about it now, Rangers fans? How do you look back on it? Get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Can't beat it. Monday night, looking back on a big weekend of Scottish Premiership action. We have missed it terribly over the summer, but we're back with Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna. Jim, who's a Rangers fan, is joining us on the line as well. How would you sum up Tynecastle on Saturday, Jim?
Yeah, it wasn't really an ideal start. It's a hard place to go, Hearts, but I just feel Hearts look as if they were capable of winning. I think Hearts want to win more than us, and they showed a bit more fight, desire, bit of organisation. Their new players look to be coming in and kind of getting up and running. The boy, it was a right back, looked really, really good, quite impressive. A couple of Hearts players that was impressed with actually looked quite a decent team for next year, but I think that'll be our competition. I think that's who we'll be competing with this season for second place.
How does that make you feel, that you've got that sort of written off one game into the season?
I don't even think it's about the one game into the season. I think it's the previous games run up to this season with a chance to win the league. We've still got a similar team. We've got one new player. That's really my point, was we've got one new player in that team. We've still got guys like Dessers, Scott Wright, Tav. They're still, Ben Davis, still starting. This is meant to be a major rebuild for Rangers, and a lot of people at Rangers, managers, directors and so on, come out and say, again, this will be a major rebuild. It doesn't really look like it to me. And one of my concerns going on to that is our signings. We've signed this guy, Ignorea, I'm not really sure how to pronounce his name, but the boy that's a striker, it's doing, nobody see him come out and say, this boy is not ready for this league, he's never played at this level. We've got a guy on my doorstep that played for Motherwell that's just went for 1.3 million to Aubameyang. The guy scored 14, 15 goals last season for Motherwell, and we've signed a guy, Robin Proper, 31, near resale value as well, and I think we paid just over £1 million for him as well. We'd Scott McKenna on my doorstep. If things are that tight and money needs spent in other places in the team, why are we going and paying money for this when we've got guys that are on my doorstep that's played in this league? There's the boy we got for Aberdeen, Barron. Yeah, it's played in the league. Why? I just don't understand why we're not looking on their own doorstep for some of these players.
What did you make of it then at the weekend? Jim opens and says, you know, it is a tough place to go, and it is. You can quite easily have a draw at Tynecastle in amongst a very good season. I mean, but it was it more than that? Did it just always feel like everything over the summer was heading to an opening day game which Rangers wouldn't win? Is that how the fans feel?
Yes. Taking it in isolation, Hearts nil, Rangers nil, isn't a dreadful result for Rangers. I've seen Rangers teams going to Tynecastle and lose. You know, I remember the first day of the season, Dick Advocaat and all these £5 million signings back in 98, lost to Jim Jeffrey's Hearts team. So, you know, Ange Postecoglou, opening day of the season with Celtic, lost at Tynecastle. So take the result in isolation. It's not a dreadful one, but I can understand the points that Jim's making. Rangers signed 8 players in the summer. Only one of them was in the starting lineup, Conor Barron, who I did think played fine in there. I think if you're going to be signing 8 players, you need more than that to come into your team. I spoke at the top of the show, we're talking about St Mirren, Balcombe, Rooney, Smith, Idowu. They've all come in and enhanced the team. Look at that Hearts team. You were talking, Marvin, Gerard Taylor. Yeah. Look at the lad Penrice on the other side. Mm-hmm. Jan Danda's enhanced the team. Blair Spittle, who was with you, Motherwell last season, came off the bench and enhanced the team. You know, you can look at Dundee United yesterday at the game you were at, Gordon. Babunski, Trapanovski, the big lad up front, Van der Sander, have all come in and enhanced the team. Rangers last season were second best in the league and second best in the Scottish Cup. They needed signings that were going to enhance the team. Now, in years to come, Clinton Insiala, you know, Hamza Igmane could be the best players you've ever seen. But the here and now is that Rangers need players who are going to enhance the team. And when they lost the Scottish Cup final in the last day of last season, if you had told Jim and other Rangers fans that they would start the season with Scott Wright in the wing, Ben Davis at centre-half, I think they'd have been disappointed.
Suppose there's a slight caveat, Marvin, in that you probably only need to fast forward a week and Robin Proper will play, play. Vaslav Cherny would play as well. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you've got a few in there. So it might not stay just Conor Barron for long. But overall, the Jim and Roger have a point. Did you was it a worrying Rangers performance?
Yeah, listen, I understand the frustrations for sure. You know, what Jim's saying, you know, they spoke about a massive rebuild over the summer and Roger said it there, they brought in eight players and only one of them start. And then you've made the point that two more will come in. I think Rangers are in a position where, you know, well, the man just said it, they need to sell before they buy. So in terms of bringing in players that are going to be guaranteed to come in and start in that team, they probably need one or two to go. Looking at that game in isolation, I think that's the strongest Hearts squad that I've, you know, witnessed in the 9 years I've been here. I think
they were good, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really, really good. I think Naismith's been extremely clever. I think he's looked at the best of the rest and tried to sign the players from there, like Jan Danda, for example, Penrice from Livingston, who, you know, I worked with, etc. So, listen, they've got Shankland as well, who's obviously a goal scorer. So it was a difficult game. I think a lot of teams will go to Tynecastle and find it difficult. I don't think they'll be, you know, rolling over for absolute anybody. They'll finish third place. They won't finish above Rangers. Rangers will be in second place. But definitely, you know, the one thing that stood out for me in that Rangers game against Hearts was a lack of reaction when they gave the ball away. And that doesn't come from a manager. That doesn't come from coaching staff. That comes from you as an individual. You give the ball away, you work hard to get it back. And if you can't get it back, you work hard to get behind the ball. And what I saw, too many players throwing their hands in the air. So that's something they need to get rid of ahead of Tuesday's game. But definitely, if they're going to have a successful campaign domestically, then they need to do better off the ball.
Jim, we had a few accusations on Saturday that, yes, the squad needs improved and, yes, new signings will come in. But even still, there was maybe no real clear sort of game plan or style that Rangers fans could see. Is that fair?
Yeah, I read a lot on social media, a lot of fans saying the same. There's like Clermont's needing to start getting a tune out of the players and getting a way of playing that everybody recognises, and the players look as if they've never played with each other before, and it puts them in a bit of a difficult position because we've got St Johnstone, Motherwell and Ross County in two European games before we play Celtic. The European games, let's be honest, it's going to be a difficult game. But we can't afford to drop points against St Johnstone, Motherwell or Ross County in the run-up to the Celtic game.
Is that fair, the comment on style? Because last year people said, look, he's just in the door, it's not his team. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are still large bits of it that aren't his team, clearly. You've mentioned Scott Wright and Ben Davies and others. But would you still expect to see a bit more? Even if it wasn't working, you could, you know, still see like the attempt at it.
Yeah, it seems like they had a lot of possession, and especially in the first half, and they didn't really know what to do with it. Players, you know, fullbacks were unsure whether they should underlap or overlap. There weren't really those sorts of combinations in the final third. And, you know, their way of attacking seemed that, you know, Dessers would run forward and they'd try and play a longer ball into him, whether it's chipped over the top or into his feet, and then he would turn and try and run. So, yeah, I agree in terms of style, but, you know, maybe it is come on. Maybe he is going to be a little bit more direct. I think, you know, we've got to this day and age now where everyone wants to see perfect football played from the back. Maybe you just want to play over the press and then fight for second balls. But if you're going to do that, you've got to win the second balls. And, you know, Rangers didn't do enough of that against Hearts.
Yeah, listen, I couldn't agree more. I listened to the show on Saturday. You know, people were, they talk about style, they talk about identity, you know. You couldn't really see what the identity of this Rangers team is. Maybe when Proper comes into the team and Czerny comes into the team and there's some more signings, a definite identity will emerge. But this is going to be, you know, throwing it forward here to the Celtic game, this is going to be a really difficult, important spell of the season for Rangers. They go to Lublin to take on Dynamo Kiev tomorrow night. After that, potentially, they've got five games at Hampden in 15 days, Gordon. Motherwell in the league, the return against Dynamo next Tuesday night, St Johnstone in the League Cup, potentially a home game against Twente or Salzburg in the Champions League playoff round, although that's not guaranteed, of course. And then it would be, I think, Ross County in the league. There can be no slip-ups. If there are slip-ups in any of those games at Hampden, then the pressure builds and builds and builds ahead of Celtic Park on the 1st of September.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement on trying to improve in the near future after Rangers drew at the weekend.
Of course, I wanted to get the 3 points like all the players. But we need to look forward now and not sticking in results all the time. It's on Tuesday, again, a massive game, an important game, against a team who could rest this weekend to be fresh on Tuesday also. So we need to put all our focus on that. For sure, we're going to become better. Robin Proper was also with the squad today. But if you don't train with the team, you cannot play a game. So, of course, and that's also experience to put in the squad. I'm sure that the next couple of weeks, we're going to improve. And we need to also do. In that way, it's positive that they react in the right way in the second half, doing the things we need to do, and then you see that we play much better football again.
Archie is a Rangers fan. What jumped out for you at the weekend, Archie?
Well, I never watched it. How are you doing, lads? All right, good evening.
Hi, Archie.
I never watched it because I found out Carlos was still the captain. As you know, I've got 2 points tonight, so one's about Tav, one's about Tavernier.
So just sorry, the line broke up slightly, so you didn't watch it in an act of protest because James Tavernier's still the captain.
I'm not going back to Ibrox as long as the captain.
He was brilliant as well, you missed it.
What's that?
He was brilliant on Saturday, you missed it.
Is that a joke?
You didn't watch it, how would you know?
Well, there's 2 points. First is, you know, I've been on the show talking about Tav for the last couple of years. And I think again people's judgments clouded by his numbers, DL and what's it, Hugh Evans, and a serial loser as a Rangers fan, a serial bottler, and even more so if you look at last season, right? I mean, Celtic last year won a double and they were bang average. They were bang bang average, right? At the end of the season, the wee run, he was never to be seen at the end of the season as usual, right? He's won 3 trophies as captain out of 21 domestic trophies, 7 years, right? There is something fundamentally wrong at Ibrox, but somebody can have won 3 trophies. And when you look at, you know, everybody's thinking he's leaving, he's still got that captaincy, and all he does is a serial loser, right? There's something wrong at Ibrox. Why is he still the captain?
So for the avoidance of doubt, you will not watch Rangers at all this season if he's the captain?
I can't fathom in my mind why any manager after manager keeps him as captain, and all he does is bottle it and lose. He's won 3 domestic trophies. I mean, St Johnson won 2 in the one season.
Who should be captain then, Archie?
What's that?
Who should be the captain?
Who should be the captain? Probably Big Butland. I don't really know, because see day to day, right? I don't know, because I really don't know, because see day to day, the team is that dysfunctional now and that out of balance, that I really don't know day to day, right? But I know that James Tavernier is never a captain. He's never a Rangers captain. And even Steven Gerrard, who is the epitome of captaincies, right? How he kept him as captain? 3 trophies out of 21 as captain. And they've kept him captain again. Look at the end of the season. There's guys like him that lose us, you know, trophies and titles.
I do wonder if that 3 and whatever it is maybe because he's part of a Rangers team that isn't as good as Celtic every year. I don't know. Does that always have to be his fault, Archie?
Look at Celtic last season, right? And they were bang average, right?
They were still better than Rangers, though, weren't they? It wasn't just about like bottle or anything like that.
I believe it is about bottle. I believe you've got a captain in Celtic like McGregor and Guy who can drive a team forward. He's quite unassuming, but he's a guy who, I mean, I'm brought up with Big Goff, Butcher, Barry Ferguson. Now, Tav is never a captain. He's a serial bottler. He bottles at Park Heath every single time he goes there. He scores the odd free kick, but he's a bottler.
So what about the other 10 players? Archie, what about the other 10 players that are out there on the pitch then?
Well, but never mind, but he's still the leader. But you know, and I know, see if you watch him for years. Right? He's a leader on the park. He's meant to lead the example, right? See if he's a bottler. What does that say about the rest of them?
I do worry that we're going round in circles on James Tavernier as a whole. Let's go specific though. How was he at the weekend? Because it's been the summer that it looked like he might leave. Last week he pops up with a big Rangers TV interview. People start thinking maybe he's going to stay. Philippe Clement speaks on Friday. Not confirms that he's going to stay, but again puts more weight behind that theory. How was he at the weekend?
I think he definitely could have performed better. You know, I thought there's on a couple of occasions where simple passes for him, he gave the ball away. I think, you know, in terms of that game in isolation, I think he got into the final third a few times and maybe his delivery let him down as well. We're at that point of the season, I think Brendan Rodgers said it earlier about Celtic, and as fantastic as they were, you're still in a position where, you know, players are still trying to get up to speed. And maybe he's one of them. It wasn't James Tavernier's best performance of his Rangers career, no doubt about it. Will he look back on that and think it was acceptable? No, because one, they've drawn the game, and two, in terms of his performance and his high standards, he didn't hit them, Gordon.
Again, let's move away from the general stuff about whether he's a bottler, whether he's what costs Rangers titles, because it's just too hard to prove. Either way, we ground in circles, Roger. Where is he at right now in terms of being able to contribute this season? Do Rangers need to think about it?
Listen, I'll go back to what I've said before. We've argued about James Tavernier for 7 years. I don't think James Tavernier is the biggest problem at Rangers.
Yeah, but that's what, let's go specifically now though, because he clearly wasn't 5 years ago.
He didn't play well on Saturday. He didn't look 100% fit. He's had a very stop-start pre-season with injuries.
Yeah.
Had Dujon Sterling been fit, you could have had an argument that maybe he wouldn't have started the game. Sterling wasn't fit. I believe Sterling trained today. I believe he's travelled with a team, as has Robin Proper, to Lublin. So there might be a couple of changes at the back tomorrow. Had Trabzonspor come up with the money that Rangers were looking for, we wouldn't be having this argument, mm-hmm. because he would have joined Borna Barisic and John Lundstrom in Turkey by now. But he is still there. As I say, I still don't think he's the biggest issue with team selection at Rangers, but he's going to need to get fit quick because there's a big game tomorrow.
Thank you to Archie. Let's move on and I'll tell you about this. We are into the third week of Cash Register now, and the prize just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You should know how it works by now. If you want to win life-changing cash, firstly, you need to enter. Then remember the cash amount, of course, £270,000. So text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter online at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Entries since we opened the lines at 6am 22nd of July have rolled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday when we make the call. To win, answer your phone within five rings, tell us this week's cash register amount, £270,000, and it would go into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025 right now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025, Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. Looking back on the first weekend of the new Premiership season. Not over yet, by the way, because St Johnstone and Aberdeen play tonight. Let's hear from Stephen Naismith, because he understandably was fairly chuffed with his team's performance.
It was an entertaining game for a nothing each. I know the headlines of all be Rangers have dropped points and all that, but I think we should have won the game. I think we created good chances, we had really good moments, we had more of them. Oh, we'll take confidence for the performance, but that, we're not going to just go away for the day saying, brilliant, that was great. So there was so many positives. So yeah, it's a pleasing start to the season, but we've got competition for places, so that's what we want to drive, that standard.
There was another big talking point as well. We had all sorts of VAR and handball drama last season, the first one of this campaign. It didn't take long for Conor Barron to see the ball strike his arm. It wasn't given, but as we told you last week on the show, Willie Collum has a different idea of the way things should look for handballs this season, and Stephen Naismith, the Hearts manager, who was on the receiving end, agrees.
Look, I don't know, I don't think it's a penalty, if I'm honest. I think last season there's a big debate. Willie and the referees and the league have done a lot to try and clear things up and have a conscious effort to stop you asking that question, to write about it. So you'll stop it, you'll see it, people say it's unnatural, but if you've played the game, there's not much you can do, so I don't think it's a penalty.
What was your take on that incident?
I actually agreed, I didn't think it was a penalty, mm-hmm. and I'm quite glad it wasn't given, because I think it points to better times ahead if this is going to be the implementation of the handball rule under Willie Collum. I think it's great. We've got a new, it's actually quite an important position, Marvin, head of the SFA refereeing department. He's got all sorts of authority, all sorts of importance. He makes the big calls, and yet he's known universally throughout the game as Willie. You know, Nasey called him up. Willie.
I think it's one of those.
I think it's good.
It's only good though if it stays that way.
Yes.
Or if it's consistent.
Yes. Listen, that was the problem. Inconsistency last season was the problem. If that's going to be the way the handball rule is implemented and they can do it on a consistent basis, the game will be better for it.
We should all try and get behind it. Well, we can, Marvin, really, just because we need to be honest with ourselves. At some point, it will happen to our team. It will happen to your team. So there's no point in getting all worked up about it. And then you become the hypocrite sort of thing. So if anyone did miss it last week, he just basically said he wanted it to come down to much more of a football expectation. So you know, you can use your own imagination as to what that means. He said there wouldn't be as many interventions for handball. So if you take the corner bar in one, and again, they're all different. So see, the next time the ball strikes someone's hand and it is given, people are going to probably jump on it anyway and say, ah, but corner bar. Corner Barron's arm is up a bit, you would say. It's not completely outstretched. It's not above his head. It's not like, you know, the body's massively bigger. I think these are the things to look out for. Are you fine with that the weekend? You think that's a good decision?
Yeah, I think it's the correct decision. And as Stephen A. Smith said there, if you've played the game before, you understand there's nothing you can do. When you do slide like that, your arm is going to go out. As you said, he didn't make himself much bigger by spreading his arms out and trying to block the ball. For me, it was a great decision, and I think it kind of, you know, sets the kind of the level that it needs to be at now for every other referee seeing that. Because listen, referees watch games as we do, as players and supporters and pundits and everything else, and they'll see that. And I think it's the best way going forward, because some of the handballs and some of the penalties given last season were unforgivable.
Okay, well, we'll see how long we all agree on that. I don't think there will be too long, that's for sure. Let's go back to the phones and see what we've got there. 01419511025 if you do want to join in, and please do. Plenty of talking points to get round from the weekend. I think we've got Hugh on the line. How are you, Hugh?
Hi, not bad, Gordon. Good evening.
Hey, Hugh. Good
evening. What's on your mind tonight, Hugh?
Well, I've been attending Ibrox for about 60 years, good, bad. I have to say that Saturday's performance, given what we've went through the summer, to leave Conor Barron totally exposed in a midfield that, quite frankly, gave him no support whatsoever, is a bit naive in relation to our manager. We don't have the players to play a 4-3-3 system. It requires energy, press, continue to win the ball back. We don't have players like that. I think we have to really rethink what our lineup is with the players that we have. We don't have any cash to go and get serious quality. I fully understand that. Those days are long gone. But a 3-5-2 formation where we are hard to beat is something that we've got to think about. I felt so sorry for Conor Barron. He's come from a bottom six team, Aberdeen, to a team that was second in the league last year, and he's been given the role to control the midfield. And I thought our manager was a wee bit silly to say after the game that we missed John Lundstrom. Bit of a slap in the face, to be honest. Conor wasn't supported by Mohamed Diomande whatsoever. I've actually got no idea what position he plays. And to start the season away from home, as one of, I think it was Roger that possibly pointed it out, to have Scott Wright on the pitch shows just exactly where we are. In comparison, finally, to I watched a bit of the Celtic game on Sunday, and kind of pains me to say, but they were absolutely excellent in the way they pressed the game, worked hard up and down the pitch. When they were going forward, there was men going forward. The last time I saw the tactic we had on Saturday was when Colin Steen was our sole representative in the forward line, when he had to chase every long ball from, the back four. So, in short, we don't have the players. We don't have midfield players that are good enough in any shape or form. Maybe Phillips got that in mind for the future. There's no point in getting Shankland. A, we can't afford them. And B, who's going to feed them anyway? Young Cortez was taken out the game by an excellent performance by the new signing that Hearts have at right back. And so he's going to come up against that most games. And if he can't cope with it, then we're really struggling there too.
What did you make of it, Roger? No, I think you've made a lot of good points, Hugh. I think a lot of your fellow Rangers fans will certainly agree with some of them. Rangers fans were all over that comment from Philippe Clement when he brought up John Lundstrom at the weekend, weren't they? Particularly because Conor Barron did do pretty well.
I don't like comments like that, because I don't think, looking back on it, I think Philippe Clement will regret saying that, because there is nothing to be gained by that comment. Now, he clearly believes it to be the case, but for the benefit of his team and his players, he would probably have been better to keep it to himself, because it certainly doesn't drive Barron or Diamandi or Lawrence or Dowell on in any way, shape or form. Whether Rangers are 3-5-2, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, at the minute, they don't have the players to compete with Celtic over the course of a season. However you arrange them in the football pitch, for Rangers to compete with Celtic, they need to get better players in, and they need to get a lot of them in. And as you rightly says, Philip Clement's already flagged up, they don't have the money to do so. So I think it's going to be baby steps. First Rangers this season, maybe Robin Proper will improve them, maybe Vaclav Cherny will improve them, maybe there will be one or two more. I think it said a lot about where Danilo stands at the minute that Philip Clement didn't even put him on from the bench in the closing minutes at Tynecastle in place of Cyril Dessers, who had missed a few chances. So this weekend has just reinforced, I think, what a lot of people thought about where Celtic are and where Rangers are.
Some big results this weekend. What type of result will we get when we play this? Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge news on the Beat the Pundit circuit this time last week. Roger Hanna has been moved to -2. He's so good at Beat the Pundit, or so sad that he knows everything about football.
I don't remember any of this, Marvin.
He's been moved to -2. And Marvin Bartley got the season up and running by losing. So it's 01419511025, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here as we reflect on the opening weekend of the Premiership season. We want to know what you made of it, though. I'm actually not that bothered about what these two think of it. I'd rather find out what you made of it, whether it was good or bad or somewhere in between or a combination of all. Do give us a call and let us know. The transfer window's still open. European football is round the corner. Any Dundee or Dundee United fans out there? That was my first ever live experience of a Dundee derby yesterday, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was magnificent from start to finish. Passion, drama, excitement, the odd bit of controversy as well. It was excellent. So if you've any thoughts, please do share it with us. And anything else, 01419511025, whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley lost this time last week. Roger Hanna has been moved on to -2 to try and bring him down, and one of them will take on Paul in Croy tonight. How's it going, Paul?
Aye, all good, yeah.
Good man. Played before?
No, I have not.
I love it. A new season, still getting debutants. I mean, you sounded like a debutant last week.
To be fair, it was a draw,
quite frankly.
And then I got beat on
the tiebreaker.
Yeah, so still get a point in the League Cup.
And or could it be the novelty factor, the first ever -2? We could make Beat the Pundit history tonight. Heads it will be, Marvin Bartley. Tails it will be -2. Oh, it's heads again.
We need to swap seats next week, Roger.
Marvellous.
This is a problem.
This is another week for my agent to renegotiate this month. Wonderful.
Can I get plus one?
No. Let's give Marvin Bartley some greatest hits radio to listen to. And Paul, you have 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can, and you just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No bother.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Clinton and Ciala joined Rangers from which Italian club?
AC Milan.
Who scored Celtic's fourth yesterday?
Ralston.
Joe Newell is club captain of which SPFL team? Which team did Kieran Tierney go on loan to last season?
People,
what shirt number does Danilo wear for Rangers?
99.
Which Scottish Championship team sacked their manager at the weekend?
Rovers.
How many goals were scored in the opening weekend of the Scottish Premiership? Wow.
12.
Liam Gordon joined Motherwell from which club?
St Johnson.
Let's bring him back. Paul was decent, by the way. You're in trouble. Paul was good. And you just sat there looking at your phone during. See.
It relaxes me.
He's trying to build you up the way Philip Clement builds up his midfielders by talking about John Lennon.
Are you ready?
I am.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Clinton and Ciala joined Rangers from which Italian club?
Pass.
Who scored Celtic's fourth yesterday?
Ralston.
Joe Newell is the captain of which SPFL Hibs. Team? Which team did Kieran Tierney go on loan to last season? Dad. What shirt number does Danilo wear for Rangers?
99.
Which Scottish Championship team sacked their manager at the weekend?
Ian Murray, Rafe.
How many goals were scored in the opening weekend of the Scottish Premiership?
11.
Liam Gordon joined Motherwell from which club?
St Johnstone.
Which team retained their SPFL status after beating East Kilbride in the playoffs last season?
Stranraer.
Paul, how do you think it went? That was an epic, let me tell you both. Before I slaughter either of you, well done for just an, it was like was the Dundee decent? Derby. It was just entertaining. Two heavyweights throwing punches at each other.
I think I did alright, Roger.
I think so, yeah.
Paul did alright as well.
Last week and you lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Paul did alright as well. It was good.
I did like the first question.
It was really good. Clinton and Ciala joined Rangers from
AC Milan.
Paul got it. 1-0 up.
What?
What do you mean? What? It just happened in the summer. Anthony Ralston got Celtic's fourth. You both got it. Joe Newell is the captain of Hibs. You both got it. So Paul leads by one.
Oh.
Until Kieran Tierney, Real Sociedad. Paul knows he got it wrong. Marvin got it right. You are level. What shirt number does Danilo wear for Rangers? It's 99. You both got it. You're still level. You're going to hate me for this, aren't you?
No, don't even. No, wait.
What do we think? A steward's inquiry
about Ian Murray at Raith Rovers.
Mm-hmm. He did see Ian Murray at Raith. I think you need to give him it.
Do you think so?
100%.
What do you think, Paul?
I don't know what Paul said, but
just give him it. Feel sympathy for him.
Cheers, Paul.
Always okay, fine. You, which Scottish Championship team sacked their manager at the weekend? Fair enough, because it's not like you said a different team.
Exactly.
Ian Murray, Raith Rovers. Fine. Okay. Fine. You lead by one.
Ooh. Oh, who did Paul say?
He didn't get it.
Oh, I like that.
Or did not. No, you did get it. Sorry. Still level.
No, I'm head by one.
No. You're level. How many goals were scored in the opening weekend of the Premiership so far?
11.
It is 11. Paul said 12. Marvin leads by one. Liam Gordon joined Motherwell from St Johnstone. Both got it.
Oh.
And Stranraer retained their SPFL status. Only Marvin got it. Paul,
what a game.
That was a certainty to win as far as I was concerned. And somehow he's done you. What did you get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Paul, contestants never lose with a 6.
No, he would have beat Roger with a minus 2.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you'd have
got any
questions.
Through any more questions.
Jeez, I think you're right. I think this minus 2 thing needs to go.
Yeah. Oh, Paul, honestly. Ruining the game, I feel for you. Because Marvin's usually hopeless as well. And,
Well, that's 50% win ratio.
Paul, honestly. I think you did enough to give it another go. Fancy it?
I'll try again.
Call when Simon Donnelly's in and you'll be fine, mate.
Simon Donnelly's my hero when he's younger.
Well, now you can beat him, beat the pundit.
Thank you, Paul. Good man. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, mate. Bye bye.
Happy with that. Got to be.
That's tremendous.
8-6.
Yeah, I had no idea about the AC Milan thing, though.
You must have been. Do you know what? Genuinely, that would have been when you were away in your daft seven aside tournament.
Oh, I had other problems.
That you got invited to.
I had other problems. Been reinvited next year.
No way.
Oh,
yep.
Do you know what? I honestly watched some of that on a live stream.
Did you?
You're hopeless as well. I can't believe you got invited back.
Yeah, they were bad. I need to make signings. Roger, you fancy it?
Yes, I could play. I could, yeah.
Do you get battered every game?
Oh, yeah. Really bad.
What was the one? Was it 7? Was it more?
7-1 against Reggae Rovers.
And who did Reggae Rovers have?
No, they were cheating, though. They had boys at like 25 that still playing. The rules need to change just quickly. They had contracted players playing for them, which isn't fair.
Like who? Anyone we've heard of?
No, they're playing in like Europe or wherever they were playing, but they were decent. But it's $1 million for the winners, so I'm not being funny. That's a budget of some teams in Scotland. You might as well send your first team across.
The Reggae Rovers.
Gordon DL is currently down the back of the couch looking for his old
boots.
The mitres. He's heard $1 million. He thinks he's got 10 months to get ready for it.
And a 7-day holiday. If you get knocked out in the first 2 days, you've got 5 days to chill out.
There we go. Anyway, that's how you missed that news. But good questions there. A good spread of stuff that's happening this weekend, stuff that happened elsewhere. I mean, honestly, Raith Rovers. It's an incredible story, that, isn't it? Game one of the new season and sack the manager. I mean, clearly, Roger, that's not because they lost on... Or it's not just because they lost on Saturday.
No, I mean, the club statement said at the time they have been looking at results going back as far as January.
They did finish
Finished second last season. Behind a Dundee United side whose budget would dwarf anything that Raith Rovers had.
I'm not really sure about that, but anyway.
I think it's a very, very strange decision. I haven't looked at the next manager betting odds yet. I just wonder if they're going to look back and maybe go for a club legend who scored 202 goals in the previous experience in the Starks Park manager's office.
Imagine.
You know, would you be difficult to work with if an offer came in before the window closed, Gordon?
Yeah, we'd need to keep him, wouldn't we? The fans would riot.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Nah, we'd have to. Anyway, 01419511025. Michael is on the line. How are you, Michael?
Too bad, panel. How are you all doing?
Good. All good. What are you thinking about Celtic at the moment then?
Well, I've got two questions for the panel, and I was hoping you'd be able to answer them. The first one is the Kyogo penalty. Do you all think it should have been a penalty, and why was it not given? And the second,
let's do that first. Good question.
I think
you both do.
I was there. I spoke to Brendan Rodgers about it afterwards. I thought at the time, when you see the challenge, you think it's a penalty. The information doesn't really get to where we sit in the press box. When the penalty wasn't given, and Don Robertson did seem to take time. Kyogo was down injured, and there was a lot of discussions. Kyogo got up, and Don Robertson spoke to him. I have to say, I presumed at the time Kyogo must have been offside, and that's why the penalty wasn't given. But Brendan Rodgers said to me after the game, he wasn't offside, he was onside, and Brendan was sort of baffled as to why the penalty wasn't given. If he's onside, it's a penalty for me.
Totally agree. And that's what I was watching the game at home, and I thought exactly the same thing. Oh, he's offside, that's why it's not being given. He gets a touch on the ball, you know, McCrory comes out, cleans him out, it's a penalty kick all day long.
It looks like Kyogo can get to that ball.
The commanding defender who is behind Kyogo got to the ball.
Yeah. You know, which is worth, because you know, sometimes as an example, this isn't a great example because it was outside the box and so on. But you know where I'm going with the Dundee Derby?
Yeah.
One, where he lifts it over the goalkeeper, goalkeeper wipes him out, but he got his
shot away,
to speak. So there's no denying of an obvious goal scoring opportunity as such because he got the shot away.
Yeah, he's not in control of it.
That one wasn't really like that. And you know, it's almost I think it's in the job description for me to then try and provide the other side. And maybe it's this. I don't really know. I'm sort of struggling. I do think when you see it the first time, it's in like real time, it's not quite as bad as is often the case. But when you see it slowed down and you see it zoomed in, you think
even when I saw it live, I was expecting Don Robertson to point to the spot.
Sorry, Michael, no idea. But at least they all agree with you.
That's good to know. The second question I'm going to ask is, do you not think Celtic should go out and pay the 7.5 for Adam Ida that Norwich is looking for? Because it was not a few years back they went and paid £9 million for an untested reserve player in Odson Edward, when we know we've got Adam Ida that has scored in international duty, scored in the Premier League and scored up here.
Is it purely the fee that's holding this up, Roger? I mean, that's where Michael's going with it. I can see why he thinks that. It just seems like such a protracted situation.
Possibly. To play devil's advocate, if you look upon it from Celtic's point of view, there was talk earlier in the window that they might need to pay £6 million to Benfica to get Paulo Bernardo. And they wait, and there's a bit of negotiation done, and he comes on a five-year deal for £3.5 million. So Celtic have gotten for less than was initially thought they were going to get him. Adamida's fee valuation has fluctuated anything between 4 million and, as Michael says there, 7.5 million. That's quite a big difference. I think Adamida and Norwich have fallen out of love with one another. I think a deal will be done. I think Norwich would probably be keen to get some money in so their new manager can go and get the players that he wants. So I think Celtic are trying to play the same patient game that they did with Paulo Bernardo. How patient that is, whether Ida comes in this week, whether he comes in at 11:30 on the 30th of August, we don't know. But I do think a deal will be done, probably not at £7.5 million. And the comparison you made, Michael, Odson Edwards a better player than Adamida for me. At the time, Adamida might go on and develop under Brendan Rodgers, be a fantastic centre-forward. For me, Odson Edwards a significantly better player.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, £7.5 million, if Celtic are being quoted that, you know, if Michael's seen that somewhere, I think as a board and as a manager, you sit there and say, right, what else is out there for £7.5 million? I think if you can get Adamida for £4 million, £4.5 million,
I think he's going to be right at the top of that list. I think once you start going into the region of £7-7.5 million, I think they start looking further afield. Miofsky.
So you wouldn't pay that?
No, I wouldn't pay £7.5 million for him. I wouldn't. And just one thing on the Adameda transfer. I know he missed a trip out to Austria for whatever reason. It might have been a genuine accident. The thing that would worry me is that, if this was done on purpose, and right now, as I said, I don't know, but if you're a manager bringing a player into a football club and you think, right, if someone's going to try and force their way out of a football club, when they come to us, if they see a big opportunity and a better opportunity for themselves, are they likely to do that to us as well? And I think that can plant an element of doubt in people's minds. And as I said, I'm not accusing Adameda of absolutely anything because I don't know the ins and outs of what happened, whether it was a genuine mistake, because it does happen. People miss flights, but it's just maybe something to think about.
But you would, Michael. You think he's definitely worth that 7.5?
I do, and I agree with Marvin what he's just after saying about the unprofessionalism of Adameda, if it is true that he did it on purpose. But on my first point was, if I remember right, they went out and got a reserve player for PSG that had done nothing and spent £9 million on him and even gave PSG a large transfer fee for him.
He'd been in loan, remember, he'd had that spell, so they had seen what he could do, been suitably impressed by what he could do. He was the obvious replacement at the time for Moussa Dembele, if you remember. And listen, for me, that £9.5 or £10 million, whatever it was, Michael, was money very well spent, because he was then sold at a significant profit. Even the sell on that went back to PSG, he went to Palace for significantly more. A very, very good player.
Michael, what about the other way? Reports this afternoon, it's a new team this time, that Brighton are in talks with Celtic for Matt O'Reilly. How do you feel about that ongoing situation?
I don't mind that there at all. I'm not worried about Brighton, and I know it sounds disrespectful, but I'm not trying to be. But I just think that there's a wee bit more to... I think Chelsea would have a better chance of getting Matt O'Reilly right now.
Yeah, I think, if Chelsea come in for you and so do Brighton, you're going to Chelsea all
Brighton
day.
Would now be seen as... And I get it. Look, we always say this. We shouldn't have to. We know how big Celtic and Rangers are, so it doesn't really compare in that regard. But Brighton, amongst footballers... I'd imagine Brighton would be seen as quite an attractive place to play your football, would it not?
Especially a young footballer making your way in the game, because they've got history of bringing players in and selling them for a significant amount of money whilst making them better. I think when you look at styles that kind of Celtic play and you look how Brighton play in terms of the football, I think it's probably a perfect fit for Matt O'Reilly. I agree with Michael, we'd probably look at it and say, can I have another crack at Champions League? But it's very, very difficult for our players up here to turn down the Premier League, because you never know when it's going to come again, that sort of opportunity. So that would be the only thing. I think he'll look at Brighton, it'll be a team he'll go into. They've got a history of making players better and then selling them on. I think it's a really, really good fit. Brand new training ground, fantastic stadium. It's a brilliant club.
I think it would be a perfect fit. Looks as if Billy Gilmour's going to Napoli, Pascal Grosser already going to Borussia Dortmund. If Matt O'Reilly went to Brighton, he would play every week and he would be a central figure in that midfield in a system that would suit his game. I think it would enhance his chances of becoming a regular for Denmark as well. He wears 33 at Celtic. You go to Chelsea, you need to wear 133. They've got two central midfielders that they paid £100 million for, each Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo.
Yeah.
Are you guaranteed to get in the team? I would put him in the team, but... You go to Chelsea, you can disappear. It is a chaotic football club.
None of that is as important, though, as will Brighton pay what Celtic are looking for. So
if they want him, they will, because they'll have the money for it.
Yeah, all day long. No problem with Chelsea Brighton paying money.
But this ongoing situation with Matt O'Reilly, it seems like it's going on a similar pattern. I'm not saying that Brighton will be the same. Big club gets linked with Matt O'Reilly, and then the reported bid is miles off what people seem to Celtic fans think they're going to get for him. So
what was the reported bid? Do you know the
No, I don't know Brighton's, but in the past when it spoke about, even going back to, it was at Atletico Madrid, it was a loan at first, and Inter Milan were mentioned, Atalanta, and you're hearing like 16 and 17 million,
I think one thing you would say in Brighton's favour again is, if Tony Bloom and the people who run Brighton Football Club, even down to David Weir, who's a central figure, they are realists. I don't think when they go to try and get football players, they go with sort of low ball, ridiculous offers that the likes of Atalanta have been making for Matt O'Reilly. They do their business very professionally. They do their business very successfully. And I would suggest if they're coming in for Matt O'Reilly, they will be in discussions with, in a ballpark that interests Celtic.
Okay, 01419511025. I think we've got the return of your old favourite, the full time teaser.
Yes.
And kick off at McDermott Park for the visit of Aberdeen in the final Premiership game of the opening weekend is just around the corner. We'll do teams next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are back with Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna, and the full time teaser is back as well. That is when you send your questions in to us and we give the pundits the final half hour of the show to come up with the answers. You get to hear your question used, you get that satisfaction of knowing that you've caught them out. Unfortunately, Roger Hanna is pretty good at these things, so Marvin will probably just sit back and enjoy. So thank you to Frank in Rutherglen for sending this one in. And if you've got one, you want to come up with a question, send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. If you're watching on the live stream, just be careful, the wording's slightly off there. So your question is, since 97-98, eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. I think the screen says 200. So since 97-98, there are 8 goalkeepers. Easy for me to say. Eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. Can you name them?
Gordon, Craig Gordon.
Yes.
Alan McGregor.
Yes.
Well, we need to go for the Holy Trinity. David Marshall.
No.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Langfield.
Yes.
That's why the glasses are on.
Who said that?
Okay, that's fine. We'll leave it there because you've got three already. Since 97-98, eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, Jamie Langfield. You've even done them in order. Those are your top three. So we'll get back to it. Thanks to Frank and Rutherglen again. And it's fulltime@clyde1.com to submit your questions. Right, let's check in with Dave Galloway because he is looking ahead to the big game that rounds off the first fixture card in the Scottish Premiership. A big night for St Johnstone, and Aberdeen a first league game in charge for their new manager. Let's hear from Dave.
After poor Premiership campaigns, Gordon, both teams are keen to do much better this season and have plenty to prove. Saints only escaped the relegation playoffs on goal difference, whilst the Dons finished seventh. Much has been happening at St Johnstone of late, with a new owner and Craig Levein reshaping his squad. They made it through their League Cup group despite a shock defeat to League One Alloa Athletic. Aberdeen have racked up 4 wins out of 4, scoring 15 goals in the process, and ahead of his first top flight match in charge, Jimmy Tilleen believes they are ready to go and they must be targeting a European place. Now, traditionally, it has to be said, this isn't a fixture which produces lots of exciting football and plenty goals. Hopefully that will all change this evening in front of a really good crowd. The main stand here is being renamed the Jeff Brown Stand ahead of kickoff, and the Dons will be backed by a sellout away support. Looking at the teams then, for St Johnstone, we have two changes there. In come Lewis Nielsen and Aaron Essel. Out drop David Kelchins and Graham Carey. So it's Josh Ray in goals. At the back, Lewis Nielsen, Sam McClelland, Kyle Cameron and Andre Raymond. Midfield, Dre Wright, Cammy McPherson, Matt Smith and Aaron Issel, with Adama Sidibe and Benji Kimpioka up top. The subs for the Saints: Sinclair, Sanders, Clark, Carey, Connor Smith, Sprangler, McPake, Kirk and Franzak. As for the Dons, well, just the one change, and it's very interesting reading. Bojan Miovski comes in for the injured Leighton Clarkson. Here's how we think the Dons will line up. Dimitar Mitov in goals, a back four of Nicky Devlin, Slobodan Rubicic, Gavin Molloy and Jack McKenzie. Sydney midfielders Silvert, Heltney Nielsen and Graham Shinney. Further forward, Shaden Morris, Jamie McGrath and Esther Sockler, with Bojan Miovski leading the line. The subs, Duin Jensen, Gay, McGarry, Bissouin, Milne, Duncan, Ambrose and Stewart. Your match referee here at McDermott Park tonight is Kevin Clancy, and on VAR, Alan Muir.
There's a lot going on with that fixture, Roger Hannah. A lot to like about it tonight.
Yeah, very much so. I think Aberdeen fans will have been quite taken by the results they've got under Jimmy Tilleen so far, and they'll be very taken by the fact that Bojan Miowski's in that team tonight. Leighton Clarkson follows Dante Pulvara onto that sort of long-term injury list at Aberdeen. I would assume they'll get a midfielder in before the window closes, but if they can hold on to Miowski, that would be just as important as Hearts holding on to Shankland or Celtic holding on to an O'Reilly or a Hitati or a Kyogo. He is the sort of main man, if you like, around Aberdeen. Esther Sockler, I thought, did okay in the Premier Sports group stages, but Miowski's the real deal. He's shown it in the three seasons he's been at the club. And, you know, you talk about, you mentioned Adam Eder and his conduct at Norwich, missing the flight. Contrast the way Bojan Miowski has handled himself this summer compared to his teammate Duke, who I think is still AWOL, hasn't been seen, trying to agitate for a move away.
We really should send Dave Galloway traipsing across the world, really, to find Duke, shouldn't we? Can you imagine?
Well,
strap a GoPro to his head and see what
Duke's
happens.
Been hiding in the Wimpy in Dingwall, there's not much chance of Dave finding him. Let me tell you.
I'd love to see that. Anyway,
Dave looks for Duke.
Big game tonight, Marvin. It rounds off the opening weekend, as we've said. How will St Johnstone react to a disappointing season last season? Turnover of players, as Roger says, some of the names that are mentioned at Aberdeen. New manager there, the situation with renaming the stand at McDermott Park. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, an awful lot going on. As you said, you know, they're celebrating a man who really has taken the club to a brand new level. You know, him and his son obviously have been fantastic for the football club, you know, bringing trophies to St Johnstone. I think I read a report when he said when he first went in there was 500 people at the game and 125 of them were complimentary tickets, and he changed that straight away. But looking at today's game, a big game for both. You know, I think St Johnstone look a lot more dangerous going forward now. I think Sidibe up front, you know, the pace that he does have and the quality, you know, fine from the English non-league system. I think he offers an awful lot for them. But, you know, again, if Aberdeen are talking about getting into Europe, these are the games you have to win. And to be honest, Gordon, on a personal note, I want St Johnstone to lose because that means potentially it could be beneath Hibs.
He's already thinking about it. I thought it was going to be something to do with your household.
Yeah, that is my
right.
Yeah,
all right, okay.
Definitely. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
So you'll, just
interesting. Jeff Brown there tonight in his St Johnstone tartan kilt.
Looking
for his big occasion, looking splendid. Oh. I've seen the pictures on social media. He's looking absolutely fantastic. Adam Webb, the new owner, is there as well.
No, I thought you were. I thought you meant surely Ailey could get you one of them.
What, a kilt?
I see you in a St Johnstone kilt.
No, I don't want a St Johnstone. I do want a kilt though. I've been here long enough. Yeah, I need to. I need
you ever
to get
worn
one?
One?
No, I haven't.
Can I just tell you, Gordon, if you get him in a St Johnstone tartan kilt, I'll go in -3.
Hold on, I like this. So you've, because we always say you're like adopted Scott now, you love the madness up here. You've never worn a kilt?
No, I've never worn one.
I think
one.
we can sort that out.
A joint effort, Scottish Sun and Super Scoreboard, do it together.
I think we can sort that out.
Get Marvin Tartan.
The McBartley Tartan. I think we can manage it. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. 23 this week, Marv.
Anyway, looking forward to that game tonight at McDermott Park. Any St Mirren fans want to wax lyrical about your start to the season? Great night in Europe, great day yesterday. You can rub Marv's nose in it, beating Hibs so convincingly. I will not, on a personal note, let tonight slide without mentioning that Dundee derby, Roger. Just to be really selfish about it, I had never been at one before, went yesterday and absolutely loved it. Made sure I got outside to see the walk down the hill from Dundee, you know, just a real quirk of the fixture. People have got their own thoughts on the suitability or the relevance of the Guard of Honour, but nevertheless, it happened. I was sort of stood or sitting just in front of the away end, the noise. Honestly, the passion, the tackles that were flying in, but most of them were clean, apart from the one that gave Dundee a penalty. Some great goals scored, some new players on show, some young players on show. I genuinely just felt like it had everything.
Everything was done correctly. From Dundee walking out of Dens Park and walking down the hill to play the game, from Tony Docherty agreeing to the Guard of Honour for United 12 months after Dundee were given a Guard of Honour in their first game in the Premiership. The way it's played, I was looking, last time they played in the opening day of the season at Tannadice, 2001, a 2-2 draw. The last time they had played at Tannadice, 2022, before United were relegated, a 2-2 draw. and there was something fitting that they go back and it's a 2-2 draw again. And I think both sets of fans would leave happy. United fans, with the performances of the likes of Babunski, Trapanovski, Van der Sander and new signings, that will make them a bit more comfortable about their hopes in the league this season. And Dundee fans will go away thinking, listen, we didn't lose that game. We've come away with a decent point. And was there a cooler man inside Tannadice than Luke McCowan when he took the penalty for 2-2? Dundee have knocked back offers today from Hibernian and Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah, interesting,
for their captain. He's in the last year of his deal. I would suggest to Tim Keyes and John Nelms, they get him on a longer deal and keep him in the building.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant game. I think, you know, I always talk about it, people watching Scottish football from further afield. I think that was a great advertisement for our game. I thought, you know, the standard of the football was brilliant. I thought the tempo was excellent. As Gordon said there, the tackles flying in. It had a real throwback feeling to it. And then you get four goals in the game as well. But a special mention must go to both sets of fans. I thought, you know, from what I have seen, they conducted themselves brilliantly well. They were just there to support their teams. They never stopped singing. You were there, Gordon. Obviously, the atmosphere is a lot better when you're at games. But even on the TV, the way it was coming across, it was excellent. And I was proud, you know, that was on TV for people to see. Yeah. And the Scottish game.
Just for accuracy, there was the unsavoury object yeah. throwing that you sometimes yeah. mm-hmm. get. So we wouldn't want to brush over that. But yeah, I think by and large, you're right. And really interesting to see some of these new players, really unknown quantities.
Yeah.
Dundee United, Babunski, once coached by Pep Guardiola yeah, at Barcelona.
Yep.
And he finds himself in the midst of a Dundee derby. You know, things can change in a few years, certainly. Tony Watt is not in the squad anymore, wasn't in the squad yesterday, so his future
also,
up in the air.
I think
it's just
when you get sent to Bucky with the B
yeah,
team,
B team yeah.
for an SPFL Trust Trophy qualifier on a Tuesday night, you know your tea's out.
Louis Molt then on the bench, Van der Sander led the line and was good. Trapanovski obviously scored a terrific goal. It was just, there was a lot to like. I don't know if people will reassess their pre-season predictions of Dundee United after one game. That sounds like a very Hugh Keevans thing to do, to change his mind so quickly.
No, I think you'll find I didn't have them in my bottom two.
Did you not?
No.
Bottom three?
You only asked for a bottom two. Oh, okay.
It just felt like they gave it a real good go yesterday against a team that was very well established in the Premiership last season.
Yeah, top 16 last season, yeah.
Will Luke McCowan still be a Dundee player come the end of the window?
I think, unless they get the money that they want, I think, obviously with the partnership with Burnley, etc., you know, they're a team that are well supported now. I think for him as a player, it's important where he goes next if he has to move on. It's not about trying to rush into a move, but we speak about players and their conduct. You'd have never known that there was teams interested in him yesterday, and he would have known it. Listen, agents always know before anybody else when these bids are coming in, so the player would have known, and I thought he was really, really good yesterday. Listen, Hibs and Bolton have obviously came knocking. I think there'll be other clubs that will be interested as well. And it's about, you know, if he thinks he needs to leave the football club, he chooses the right move rather for himself.
If he goes, they need players in because they've lost Malachi Boateng, who's now signed for Hearts.
Yeah.
They've lost Max Anderson down to Crawley. If he goes, they look a little bit light in there for me.
Yeah, great game yesterday, it has to be said. Right, quickly on this teaser, before we go back to the calls, since 97-98, eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. Can you name them? Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon and Jamie Langfield.
I've only got one. Neil Alexander?
Nope.
Oh, I'm done.
What about Xander Clark?
Yes.
Oh,
he's there now.
And I always think, why is the question around 97-98? Think back to goalies then. Rob Douglas?
No, I actually don't really know. No, do you know what? I think it's probably just...
Have you not read the question correctly, Gordon?
No, I have. Is it just probably a nod to like the SPL era, that sort of thing?
Oh, right. It's not right. Yeah, sorry, that's where I was going
there's
wrong.
There's not loads way back there, I wouldn't say.
If we're saying Xander, is pal Liam Kelly?
No.
No.
What about, what's his name? Old Aberdeen goalkeeper.
Joe Lewis?
Yeah.
He's just off 209. Oh, we'll get the rest.
And listen, I'm going to have one goal.
Go on then.
Our pal, Cammy Bell.
No.
No.
We'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls, please, after these. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I can't believe we're on the home straight already. That's been a quick old show with Roger Hannah and Marvin Bartley. Let's quickly nod to the teaser before we bring in Nigel, who's a Rangers fan, and some interesting stuff coming out of Philippe Clement's press conference this evening ahead of that European game tomorrow. But the question quickly, since 97-98, eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. Name them: Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, Jamie Langfield, and Xander Clark.
I'm just thinking through the clubs there. Just back at hearts, actually. Jamie McDonald.
I don't know what's wrong with your mic, but you said Jamie McDonald, and that is correct.
Nice.
Any from you, Marvin?
No.
Just if it helps you, the three you've got left, I'd say they are before your time. One probably overlapped slightly, I would say.
Again, just thinking back through the clubs. Paul Gallagher.
Paul Gallagher is one. Well done. Let's try and fix Roger Hanna's mic. Let's bring in Nigel, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Nigel?
I'm well, guys. How are you doing?
All good. Hey, all good here. What are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to phone up about Rangers transfer window. I think on the whole, it's been far better than Celtic's and anybody else in the SPL. And I think it will be by the end of the window. I think even looking at Igamane, Cherney, Connor Barron, I think the quality that we've brought in is far better than anything else we've seen in the league. But above all, I think one of Philip Clement's best transfer moves this window will be to keep Cantwell and Tavernier. Obviously, I know there's been a lot of interest from Saudi and the Premier League. So if they can keep hold of those two, I think we'll be golden.
See, in terms of, you know, comparing, is the difficulty for Rangers, because look, time will tell. I'm not going to argue with you about how good those players are you've signed, because Igmani's not even put on the first team jersey yet, so I've no idea how good he would be. I wouldn't pretend otherwise. But if you're going to compare all the teams in the league, Rangers are probably further away from their targets than a number of other teams. The Rangers window needs to be the best out of all the teams, does it not?
I agree and I disagree. I think we've let go in a lot of quality in Lundstrom. I think what Philip said was right, in that, you know, we did miss out on Saturday. I didn't get watching the game, but from what I've heard, we could have been doing a lot better. But that wasn't through not watching it, through protest like the earlier caller. In actual fact, I was actually doing a tour of the Vatican, which is why I couldn't watch it. But, you know, I thought on the whole, I think we'll have a much better window. I think if we go out and spend the money for Shankland, I think we'll clinch it. I think we will. I think Celtic have probably looked at our business and probably a bit reluctant to spend the money. I think Ida is using them to get better contract terms with Ipswich, Norwich, sorry. And I think they probably won't get him, to be honest. So I think on the whole, we'll probably leave the window much, much stronger. And I think you look at our midfield, I know we had a bit of a rocky start, and obviously Celtic's done well at the weekend. But I think Cantwell, like I said earlier, if we keep him, I think we'll be golden, because I think he's better than that. Matt Riley and Conor McGregor.
He'll be better than Conor McGregor, that's for sure. I don't think he's up to much. I don't know about Callum.
You tell Conor that.
Never mind.
I'll throw this back to Nigel. Now,
I'm starting to. Are you serious, Nigel, about the Todd Cantwell thing? Seriously, I'm wondering about this, because I don't get many Rangers fans desperate to keep Todd Cantwell. Philippe Clement doesn't even want to keep Todd Cantwell. Not only do you want to keep him, you're saying he's still better than Matt O'Riley.
I think so. I think, you know, you look at who Cantwell's been linked with in the past. Man United.
No, that wouldn't be how you judge a player, though, is it? That wouldn't be the most accurate way for us to judge a player.
What do you mean?
So your way of deciding who's better out of Todd Cantwell and Matt O'Riley is to reference someone that was linked to Todd Cantwell years ago, that they both played in the league last season. That would be the best way. Look at them both last season, and who was better?
Well, yeah, but if you judge it like that, then yeah. But I mean, Man United are far better than Brighton, for example. So you know that, you know. But
Todd Cantwell didn't go to Man United. I'm struggling with the logic.
Matt O'Riley is a far superior player to Todd Cantwell.
The thing is,
Nigel might be right about Hamza Igamani and Clinton and Siala and all the signings. We don't know, as you say. The team that played at Tynecastle on Saturday, outfield players, 10 outfield players, I'm not convinced there's one of them would get in the Celtic team that played yesterday.
I disagree, but, you know, I think we'll see. Which ones what?
Would get in.
Would get in what? Rangers or Celtic?
Celtic.
Well, Tavernier for a start, Cantwell.
No, Cantwell didn't play on Saturday. That's the whole point. He's asked for a transfer and he's been left out the squad European squad.
I didn't see it on Saturday.
Anyway, Marvin, you want to come and bring some sense to the debate?
I'll try. Listen, as Roger said there, some of the players are kind of unknowns in terms of how good or bad they're going to be. I think one thing that we all know and can all agree on now is that Celtic are ahead of Rangers. I agree with Roger, and he posed a question to Nigel: how many of the players from Rangers on Saturday would get into Celtic's team after seeing them on Sunday? And I would struggle to name one. Listen, Kasper Schmeichel is a great goalie. Jack Butland done extremely well last season. So for me, Celtic are in a stronger position. I think in terms of the transfer window, obviously it's still open, and Celtic could lose big players. And I think Rangers obviously want Cantwell and Hadji out, and whoever they bring in with that money. But at this moment in time, I think Philippe Clement will definitely want to bring in players more urgently than Brendan Rodgers needs to.
I just don't know if it can be seen as a big victory keeping Todd Cantwell when Rangers don't want to keep Todd Cantwell.
He doesn't want to be there.
We don't really word it like that.
No, that's not
a success. That's a failure in a weird roundabout way. Roger, I noticed that Yanis Hadji played for the B team today. And as part of his pre-match press conference this evening ahead of the Dynamo Kiev game, Philippe Clement confirmed he will be sold in this window. I mean, I saw a lot of Rangers fans on social media today sort of pointing to the lack of creativity at the weekend and questioning, you know, why can't Yanis Hadji come in and do a turn here? Then so others saying, oh, don't worry, maybe he will. He got married and he was at the Euros, and maybe it's just a matter of time. But Philippe Clement confirming tonight he'll move on.
I think Philippe Clement's trying to look forward now rather than look back. Yanis Hadji, I think the Rangers' title winning season, was a great contributor, scored a lot of winning goals, but that seems to be a long time ago. The Rangers fans haven't seen anything like that since he came back from that horrible injury. And I think, listen, it'd probably be best for Yanis Hadji to move on and try and kickstart his career elsewhere. It'd be better for Todd Cantwell to move on and try and kickstart his career elsewhere. It would get some wages off the wage bill. It would bring in a couple of transfer fees, and it would allow Philippe Clement to look forward and bring the players in he thinks are going to make Rangers better in the future.
The other main thing that jumps out from Philippe Clement this evening is that Oscar Cortez will be out for 4 or 5 weeks. Now, that probably is better news than some would have feared. But at this part of the season already, Marvin, we know, look, obviously drop points at the weekend, European qualifiers are here, they're imminent. It's still not ideal. And Czerny's come in, and now maybe an increased burden on him to get up to speed right now and play. And if it's not that, you're still having to rely then on Scott Wright or Rabi Matondo or whoever.
Yeah, listen, it's far from ideal, as you said there. You know, you don't want to be losing players, and you don't want to be losing starting players. They have a massive month. August is a huge month for Rangers, as you said, with the qualifiers coming up, and we spoke about the three games, etc., in the league that they really want to hit the ground running in. And like you say, you don't want to lose a player for any period of time. When he went down yesterday again after coming out for the second half, we did fear that it could have been a lot worse. So the only good news is that maybe it's only going to be 5 or 6 weeks. But, you know, it doesn't really rain, but it pours for Philippe Clement at this moment in time. And like the caller said there, if you had Cantwell, if you had Hadji biting at the bit to play, but they don't.
He's made big play, Philippe Clement, about improving the injury situation, bringing in extra people to his backroom staff, to his medical staff, to his rehabilitation staff. And one game in, he's lost Oscar Cortez for five.
I think that was contact, though, Roger, in terms of that one.
It just shows you can only do so much.
Of course,
if you have things like that on the field of play, listen, players get injured.
It feels like even a lot of the Rangers fans, Roger, who phone in here, had sort of accepted their fate that they won't make the Champions League. See if they can get the finger out, the act together, whatever it is, quickly. That draw is nowhere near as daunting as it could be in recent seasons. Look, Dynamo Kiev first, and I take everybody's point. If Rangers play like they did at the weekend, they probably won't get past Dynamo Kiev. But thereafter, Red Bull Salzburg or FC Twente. In normal circumstances, when you look at Rangers' recent record in Europe, that is a very doable path to the Champions League, but they'll need to improve quickly.
They will need to improve quickly. I agree with you about the draw. I think the draw has been a bit as kind to Rangers as it could have been. Rangers' best performances in the last three seasons have come in European football. Don't ask me why. I don't think anyone really can understand it. They have a chance to get through. It's the old argument. If you can't beat Dynamo Kiev in either 20 or Salzburg, then you don't really deserve a place in the Champions League. The Europa League is going to be your level. But they have a chance. But they'll need to play a whole heap better than they did on Saturday, Gordon.
Thank you to Nigel. That will be the final call of the evening, and we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow. Let's round off this teaser then and see what you two can come up with. Since 97-98, eight goalkeepers have made more than 215 appearances in the Scottish top flight. Can you name them? Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, Jamie Langfield, Paul Gallagher, Xander Clark and Jamie McDonald. Two to get.
What about a holy goalie, Arthur Bonnage?
No.
Fraser Foster?
Nope.
I'm looking through some old ones now.
None of them. You're looking for like men of many clubs, that sort of thing.
Oh, what about what's in Aberdeen tonight? Ryan Essen?
No.
Men of many clubs.
I mean, this guy played for loads.
Alan Main?
No. He was on the coaching staff at Aberdeen not so long ago.
Oh, Sammy!
Is he still there? Craig Sampson.
No, he's at Hibs now.
Craig Sampson.
Yeah.
And another one is a former Hibs goalie. And as soon as I deliver this clue, you'll get it straight away, Roger, because he's also a former Celtic and Rangers goalie.
Oh, Mark Brown.
Fantastic. There we go. Thank you very much to Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. Big game in the Premiership tonight. Huge European qualifier for Rangers tomorrow. The transfer window's still open. It is all happening. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 6 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your night.